Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Hello, hello, everybody. Episode 331 of Your Scope program. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Yes, it has been a month and a half since we've been around. Our last episode was our Christmas episode. And we took a little break, took in a little bit of football, took in a little bit of life. Right now, Jared, Adam, and I are freezing our butts off. It's always fun to talk. To talk to my coworkers, you guys, when they are in the southeast, and I let them know in the morning, hey, it's 14 below. And they're like, oh, is that your wind chill? I'm like, no, that's actually the air temperature, folks. And it's even cold for me. It makes me feel big, strong, and tough. I don't know if you guys get to any of that joy talking to people outside of your normal realm. I take advantage of it every time I can.
I have a colleague who works out of California, and then I have a couple of nearshore folks who work in Costa Rica. And so, yeah, when we talk, I get to shock them with our cold temperatures. And the last couple of years, it's been like weird. Like the fact that we're past mid-February and it's this cold, that's not normal. I mean, I guess it's the new normal, but it's not how it has been until now. So
my kid has missed 2 days of school.
That's crazy.
This year.
Just out of cold. Yeah, that's just, it does not happen very often. So.
But I think as we record this, I think we've got like one more night of extreme cold, and then it starts to ramp up. If you look at like the forecast, it's like basically like a skate ramp taking off. In fact, Angela sent me a Snapchat with a little Bitmoji character of herself riding a bicycle up the ramp. So it's very exciting. She's take a sweet jump off the rise in temperatures. We're looking at what, mid-30s, maybe 40s by the weekend?
When do the palm trees start blooming? That's what I want to know.
Well, we got to import them first. They're not very hardy. We bring them in for one season. They die in the fall, and then we bring them back again. It's very sustainable, though.
I love it. I love it. Well, listen, gentlemen, we have an epic three-part show coming up. It is all about Saturday Night Live. I believe all three of us are fans. We've watched for some time. We get into the history of our personal connection to the television show Saturday Night Live when we get into the B block. But I want to let everybody know to buckle up because we got some good stuff coming up. But we also have some bad stuff coming up, Jared, Adam.
Oh, no.
And it revolves around the old pigskin. Yes.
Oh, that would be the cue for me to do this, right?
So the last time we talked football, I believe the Minnesota Vikings had lost two games, perhaps, maybe three. They were in that possibility of winning the NFC, running away, getting home field advantage all the way through. And Adam's squad, the Commanders, were the sneaky little team, out kicking the coverage, so to speak, outperforming, kind of like the Vikings in a way, right? Like, did not do as poorly as what everybody else thought. As a matter of fact, Commanders made the playoffs as well. Here's the issue, though. The Vikings went into the playoffs getting demolished by the Lions, and people weren't feeling good about it.
No.
Commanders on the other end of the spectrum were looking like the team to beat for a while. But as all things go in our world of football, it came crashing down. One game early for the Vikings where they got pummeled by the Rams. And then the Commanders ran into the buzzsaw that was the Eagles of Philadelphia.
So the question is, does Adam feel good about losing to the eventual Super Bowl champs?
Yeah, tell us, Adam. Was it a successful season? How sad were you when the Commanders lost? Like, what's your thought on it?
What if this was when I was like, you know what? I don't want to watch football anymore. I missed the whole season. Because I've just done, you know, with the commanders being them forever. No, why would I feel bad? It was a fun season. And, you know, I don't usually get to have a team that I can be happy. Like, a lot of times what I have to do when people say, like, you know, oh, you're from D.C., do you like the Redskins / Commanders? I have to, like, be sheepish and be like, I mean, yeah, I do, I guess. But I don't anymore, you know. Now I can not hide it anymore. I can come out of the closet, I guess, as it were.
Right.
I mean, you got the prospect of our current president maybe going to some games this fall.
What else can you want? The last time he went to a game in D.C. proper, but he went to a Nationals game in 2019, I think, and the crowd started a "fuck you, Trump" chant that lasted like a couple innings before he left. So
sure, but now you get tossed in the gulag when that happens.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. We've got that all figured out. So that's amazing. No,
maybe not yet, but potentially.
The thing about your squad, Adam, is that you have got this fantastic quarterback who is kind of the archetype for success. It seems like you have ownership that you can respect. And it feels like you can absolutely be proud of cheering for them, not from behind the curtains or quietly or secretly feel sad that you have to support a racist, terrible team.
Yeah.
I think that's fantastic.
Yeah. It's been, you know, I mean, it's it was merely 25 years of bad ownership. And now we can get one good year of football. We'll see how next year goes. You know, the schedule will be harder next year, but we have a Scoper Bowl to look forward to.
Yeah, that's exciting. That's true. So do you think, Adam, based on what you see and feel, that the trajectory will still keep going up for the Commanders? Or do you think there's just as much of a likelihood that there's a little bit of a slip back?
I mean, I forget the record. I think they were like something stupid, like 8-1 in one score games. Mm-hmm. So like that, there's going to be a regression to the mean there, right? The schedule will be harder next season. Like, they got to play the Titans and the Browns this year.
Yeah.
And the Colts. Oh, I can't even remember what division those guys are in now. So yeah, it'll be hard. They have to play the AFC West. So I think their record will probably be worse, but also I think the Eagles will be decently worse next year too. So
why do you say that? Just,
well, they're going to lose
some
probably
folks.
Two defensive linemen, Josh Sweat and I can't remember the other guy's name. They'll probably lose a few other, you know, pieces. And everyone seems to say Jalen Hurts is not a good quarterback. I still don't really understand why. Because
looked pretty good in the Super Bowl. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, he was pretty awesome.
But I guess at some point, whatever people see will shine through and he'll stop being very good. So yeah, I feel like they have a good chance of making the playoffs again next year. They have like the third most cap space in the in the league. They have all their draft picks.
Got a GM who's worth his salt, then they can probably make some moves.
Yeah.
Keep on improving.
Well, Adam, I will say for a division that I dislike two of the teams greatly, a third team, a pretty decent amount. I am sincerely rooting for your Commanders to go and take the NFC East and make a repeat appearance in the playoffs. I think that would be exciting.
Yeah, a real feel-good story to cheer for one team out of that division.
And Jared, we'll throw that same question over to you.
Yeah.
Vikings had a great season, but it ended with a thud.
Crashed and burned at the end there.
Was it successful to you? Was it enjoyable? And what do you think they do next year?
I think it was enjoyable. I mean, I think going into the season, we didn't have any anticipation for the success that they had. I think we probably thought this was going to be a bit of a middle season because we kind of had an unanswered question at quarterback, which... Now we have a completely different unanswered question at quarterback, but, you know, they brought in Sam Darnold for a year to kind of be the veteran there who could play for now and then sit down once J.J. McCarthy was ready to go. Then J.J. McCarthy gets injured in the preseason, is out for the year, and suddenly Sam Darnold's the guy. And a lot of people had speculated maybe that if without someone to watch out for, that he might rise to the occasion and he might be in the right system for it. And turned out, for the most part, they were right. He was an exceptional quarterback for most of the year. Just kind of ended up kind of falling apart at the end there.
Jared, was that due to his skills as a quarterback? Did the real Sam Darnold shine through? Was it a situation where defenses figured it out? Was it a situation where the offensive line was crappy, or was it a bit of all three?
I think maybe a bit of all three. I think I'm leaning more towards the fact that he doesn't do well when he's under extreme pressure. He does have a problem holding the ball too long, and defenses finally figured out how to exploit that. And they also figured out that the interior line of the Vikings was terrible. And so they put a lot of pressure on those points and were able to get to him in those late games. Able to do it with only like four people. So that meant that they were getting pressure on him and his receivers were covered downfield, which is a bad combination for a lot of quarterbacks. And apparently a very, in particular, Sam Darnold, he did not handle the pressure well. He did not handle the coverage well. Cause he was very good against the blitz, but teams figured out that they could pressure without blitzing. And then he was done.
All bets are off. Will Sam be a Vikings quarterback next season?
I'm going to say no. I think they're very excited to get J.J. McCarthy on the field. That is unless somebody comes along with a ludicrous offer to trade for him. The wild card is that the draft class coming out this year is not very strong. There's only like two quarterbacks who people view as like a top five, top 10. And I think if any team thought that they had a shot at landing like a J.J. McCarthy, they would take that shot at him, because I think he is probably graded as a better quarterback than either of the two premium quarterbacks coming out in the college draft. So if somebody wanted to name their price and try to get J.J. McCarthy, I think the Vikings would have to listen to those offers and decide if they felt like they were getting huge value. At that point, Darnold's probably gone already. So I don't know what your backup plan is, because this is probably some sort of, I'm going to guess, a draft day or very close to draft type of trade scenario. But otherwise they might just say, J.J. McCarthy's back. He's healthy. He was always our plan. And, now the road is clear and open in front of him. He's got a lot of people around him. And the big question now is, getting your defense back together. They're going to probably lose some veterans. They've got a lot of their secondary is not on contract right now. So they need to figure that out. I hear they're making moves. Well, they've made a couple moves with, Aaron Jones, and just today, I forget if it's Byron or Bynum, one of the two who's they move their void year timing later, which gives them more time to negotiate before they hit the open market. So we'll see.
It's that our favorite time of the NFL year, contract negotiations, and that time leading up to the draft. That, I mean, it's pretty hard to top that.
It's wheeling and dealing time.
Mm-hmm. Kendrick
Lamar. I don't know how they're situated for cap space, but
final question, Adam. Kendrick Lamar's halftime show was?
Something that white people all understood.
Oh, yes.
I love it. Well, let's end with that. Hilarious. Adam, you probably could have been a writer on SNL. And guess what? We're going to be covering 50 years of that comedic institution. We've actually talked about this idea, picking our dream cast of SNL over the years, and we figured the show being on a half a century, it's time to do it. So buckle up, everybody. Top men, top women, top weekend updaters. We will be covering them in successive shows, and we cannot wait to get to it. So let's take a quick break. We'll be back with more of our tribute to SNL in episode 331 of The Scope right after this.
Yes, folks, it is that time. It is the time to talk about patronage. What does that mean? That means you give money and we get to do stuff with that money, like supporting how this show runs. Like, we've got a website. Don't look at it right now. It may not be up, but we do have a website normally, and that costs money to run.
I did.
Also, by the time you hear this, it'll be back. Don't worry. You know how we eat those treats all the time? I'm sure at some point Shane's going to ask me to help pay for those because he does all the shopping. And I would like to not pay for it out of my pocket. I like to pay for it out of your pocket.
$12,000.
So head on over. This is the long ramp up to patreon.com/thescopeshow where you go and you sign up. You pledge as little as $1 per episode, set a monthly cap, cancel anytime. And at the rate we're posting, that's not going to cost you very much, but it helps us out. So think about it. Very little pain for you in the pocketbook. No tariffs either. There's no tariffs on this. It's digital goods.
Trump tariffs gone.
Extra tariffs. Patreon.com/thescopeshow for more information. Just let it vibe for a bit.
I'm in. Hey, everybody. Episode 331 of The Scope. I wanted to do like a Don Pardo. It's Saturday Night Live, starring Jared. I'm not going to say your last name. Not going to do it. I refuse.
Adam.
And Shane. I'm a featured player.
Featured player. Wow.
You're at least a G.E. Smith, you know?
Yep. G.E. Smith and the Saturday Night Live band.
I forgot about G.E. Smith.
And
you know, if we ever do
guest.
This again, we might have to do like best band leader.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Do you know
yes.
that Daryl Hammond does the?
Yeah, he's Daryl Hammond is the voiceover guy now. Cool. Pretty exciting. Anyway, it's episode 331. Sorry for the digression. We're back in a multi-show event. Jared Am and I will work together to pick the 12 funniest men, the 12 funniest women. And the three best Weekend Update combos to ever grace Studio 8H. It's going to be very, very exciting. And I cannot wait. We've been talking about it for years. It is going to be a very big deal. I have watched Saturday Night Live religiously since 1985.
Wow.
And literally have never really missed an episode since. So I feel confident in my picks. And I'm also happy that none of us are old enough that we can remember every single season. So that says something as well. Jared, when did you first start watching Saturday Night Live? I'll ask the same to Adam, and then we'll get to our picks.
I don't know if I can pin it down exactly, but 84, 85, right in there. It's like...
Do you remember Eddie Murphy? That's the question.
I probably caught a stray episode here or there mm-hmm. with Eddie Murphy, but I was not watching regularly. Okay.
Adam?
I don't remember exactly, but I do remember the 15th anniversary show mm-hmm. in 1990.
Okay.
I remember watching that with my mom. And so I definitely was watching it then. And I'm sure it was also like on in prime time on a Sunday, you know, so
yeah.
not too late. But also my mom at probably around that age was not giving me a strict bedtime on weekends. So I could stay up and watch it if I wanted to. And the thing I remember the most about that that anniversary special was they did like a best of commercial parodies mm-hmm. Like they do all the time, except that our most recent one here, they didn't actually show them other than like a 5 second clip from each one. They actually showed like full commercials,
right?
And do you remember the one for the Change Bank?
Yeah.
You can get five nickels and a quarter.
Yeah.
People always ask, like, how do you make money on this? And the answer?
Volume.
Volume.
I didn't know it was a parody, and I'm 10, and I'm like, that's so cool. That's, like in my mind, I'm like, how else can you get change? Probably impossible. And remember my mom laughing and then looking at me like, oh no, I have a dumb son. So that, that was.
Jared and I were commenting to each other that we saw that same look at your wedding.
Exactly. Mm. Yes.
Never went away.
No.
Never went away.
No. So at least since 1990.
Well, and I started in 1985. Like I said, it was the year that starred Martin Short, Billy Crystal, Christopher Guest, Julie Louis-Dreyfus. It was a murderer's row of Saturday Night Live superstars. And then the following year, they have Lorne Michaels came back and essentially rebooted the cast, and it was a rough year. Anthony Michael Hall, not as funny as Martin Short. Who knew?
But so which was the weird year? 86, 85?
86, 85 to 86 was the weird. Yes. So
I'm pretty sure I was watching then. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like you, Jared, I have like a memory or two of Eddie Murphy, but I did not start watching regularly until that 84 to 85 year. I correct myself, but let's get into it. So we've got 12 male cast members that we're going to select as the all-time scopers. We're going to do this sort of like schoolyard pick 'em. We'll just rotate through. And I've drawn random numbers. And Adam, you will start first. So you get the first pick. Jared, you'll get the second pick, and then I'll go third. Okay. And we'll just go through until we have our 12 top males. Adam, I'll give you about a minute, 2 minutes per pick. Just try to keep it tight.
So you want me to just make up, like, this is not necessarily my number one, just like a pick.
No, you pick your tops, you know, and right. You know that who you feel should be. And if as we go through and your top picks are gone, then you go down the list a little bit.
Got it. Okay.
Or maybe so you want to throw a curveball right from the jump. That's your call.
Yeah,
right.
You do what you want to do.
Yeah. I'll come in with my Andrew Dismukes hot take in,
maybe the fourth round. Turn his mic off because Andrew does not.
I want to be clear. I like Andrew Dismukes. Friend of the show, look, Molly, thinks he's the worst ever.
There are dozens of great players on this cast. You can't pick them all. That's the problem.
Yeah. Okay. So if I'm picking one, like this is my, I guess it's very hard to like say best ever. Right. But I guess,
But it probably should be the best ever.
Sure. Sure. Well, I mean, yeah. I'll pick Phil Hartman then for,
okay,
for my number one pick.
And why Phil?
Cause of his great work on The Simpsons. I just really, really liked
his voice. That's it, huh? So he's a cast member from 86 to 94.
Yeah.
Considered maybe the ultimate utility player of all time for Saturday Night Live.
I'll say the thing that like I always remember is, you know, so he had a really good Clinton, especially during that campaign. And like I was like, you know, a dumb 11/12-year-old that was like, you know, paying attention to politics, but totally not understanding and being like, Pat Buchanan, he seems pretty cool.
Right.
but his Bill Clinton, you know, the one where he's at the McDonald's and just eating everyone's cheeseburger or whatever, Big Macs and stuff. Has this always stuck out as, I don't know, like a perfect bit to me. And then, yeah, I don't know. I guess that's the one that sticks out. I'm pretty sure he's the one who, Is he Headwound Harry also?
That would be Billy or Dana Carvey did that.
That's Dana Carvey. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, I guess he's probably like the party host in that,
right,
in that
one. Phil Hartman did like the anal retentive chef.
Yes.
He did
Unfrozen Caveman Lawyer.
He did
Bad.
Frankenstein. And he also, people forget, he did a killer Ronald Reagan. I mean, that's how true. Long it was.
Yeah.
He had a great bit where he played Ronald Reagan in the Oval Office. And when people were around him, he was this old, senile, friendly guy. But when everybody, when like the Girl Scouts left and he would quick bring everybody back in, and he would just be a stone cold killer motivating everybody and just a giant asshole. Phil Hartman is an all timer for sure. Adam, fantastic pick. Jared, you're up next.
All right. Well, Phil Hartman definitely on my list, so I will not go to that one. I'll just mention he does one of my favorite performances where he is like the old timey Hollywood actor.
Yeah.
And he's like, what's the word on the street?
Yeah. You're terrible, Johnny.
Him and Lovitz. Lovitz, who was seated at the American Girl store across the street. That was a good bit. Anyway. Yeah. I'm about halfway through. I've started watching it. I couldn't wait for Angela. Anyway, I will go down my list. I think I roughly put these probably in order. So I'm just going to right off the top, right off the dome, I'm going to go Dana Carvey.
Okay.
Dana Carvey has so many like legendary characters. I mean, you know him as Garth. You know him as the church lady. He had his chopping broccoli bit, which was just hilarious, and I got to see live in concert. George H.W. Bush. 1,000 points of light. Nah, you know, you gotta love him. I just
Ross
think that
Perot.
he's Ross Perot. He had so many characters.
Grumpy
so many,
old
like,
man.
So many.
Paul McCartney.
Totally fucking forgot about Grumpy Old Man. Jesus. Just a murderous row of characters. Yeah. And then he came back. He came back this season doing a very sobering, but also probably realistic Joe Biden.
Yeah. Almost brutal. It was brutal in it.
Yeah. So that's my pick, Dana Carvey.
Dana Carvey, 86 to 93.
Mm-hmm. When he left, that was kind of when I started to wane on the show for a while. So
I think there is an argument that Dana Carvey might be the best of all time for that show. Honestly, like if you look at what he did, in his prime, I would put him toe to toe with anybody. Mm-hmm. And Phil Hartman is a different beast because he was never the showy guy. But Dana Carvey was always out in front and fantastic. Okay, my pick. I'm looking at my list and I think I have to go Eddie Murphy as my next pick. He was probably the biggest breakout star from 80, you know, in the early 80s, from 80 to 84. He changed the game. I mean, funny, hilarious. And who knew that Eddie Murphy would be the breakout star of SNL 50? Like, he came in and was the shining star, proving that he is a master at what he does. He can sing. He can dance, i.e. James Brown. He has the buckwheat imitation. A lot of things that were maybe not so great now, but
product of its time. Come
product
on.
Of the time, where the great bit where it was the pre-tape piece where he went out on the street is a white guy, you know, and how you ever seen that where he goes out there and the whole world bows to him because he's just a regular white guy. Eddie Murphy was hilarious. He's the only cast member that hosted the show while he was a cast member, because Nick Nolte did not show up for 48 hours. So they brought in Eddie Murphy. So I think that tells you something. Eddie Murphy is certainly in my top three of all time. And I'm proud to put him on this list.
I am. For whatever reason, Eddie Murphy's on my list as well. I had him at number two. He wasn't one that I saw, like, I wasn't watching the show regularly when he was on. So his impact was sort of missed on me. And I was like, when I was going back and building this list, I'm like, Eddie Murphy, do I put him on there? And I kind of looked at like all of the things that he did. And I'm like, okay, yeah, he's got to be on the list. Not only for what he did on the show, but kind of, like you said, he was like the first breakout star really from that show.
Yeah. I mean, biggest movie star of the time, you know, couldn't miss.
And I just think about, I could still quote to this day James Brown Celebrity Hot Tub. So amazing.
Fantastic.
So, should I get in the hot tub? Yeah. Will it make me sweat? Will it make me wet? Should I get in the hot tub? Yeah. Will it make me sweat? Love it. It's classic.
Well, I will tell you guys, I don't know what your list is, but two of my top four are already off the list. So this is very, very exciting. Adam, you're next. Number two pick.
I got to pick again, huh?
Mm-hmm. You got three more picks.
Okay. It's hard because I know ones that you guys won't pick, so I don't really want to like steal all of your picks.
No, you pick whoever you want. I have a list of 12 or 13 people that I can.
Okay. I want to be clear. I do not think this person is the number five best SNL.
Are they top 12?
I mean, I would guess most people would not put them in.
Are they in your top 12?
They're in my top 12. Yeah.
This is your featured player,
right?
Yeah. Sure. I'm gonna pick David Spade.
Wow.
Okay. Now we're going.
I am a David Spade truther, I guess, as it were. I don't think he's ever done anything that I've disliked. There've been things that I've just been like, oh, okay, whatever. But his Hollywood Minutes on update, you know, for whenever, however long he did that. I just remember really liking that style of humor for whatever reason. And I think it was like, I guess it was when Nealon was doing update, or maybe it was Dennis Miller. I can't remember. But I just like, I just really enjoyed that bit of it. Knowing that he was friends with Chris Farley, who Farley clearly should be mentioned before Spade, but one of you guys will mention him. I'm guessing, so I'm not too worried about that.
Well, let's go through some of his other characters. He did the flight attendant.
Gap Girls.
He did Gap Girls, which I find is one of my most quoted SNL sketches of all time, with friend of the show Al. Who else did he do? He wasn't a great impressionist.
No.
He usually plays a version of himself, you know, just a skinny little sarcastic dude.
Yeah. And it's like, he was on, like, I think his characters were probably on update more than, you know, sketches. But I think for a real long time, update was my favorite part of the show anyway. So that probably also played into it.
Spade kind of falls into that era where I wasn't watching as frequently as I would, you know, for the last 20 years and for, you know, 10, 15 years before that. For whatever reason, I just wasn't watching as regularly. Yeah. So
I would also say, being a expert of Saturday Night Live, there were definitely ebbs and flows of quality in that time. So, you know, Spade was a highlight, but there were definitely some aspects that were not quite as good, but that's just my opinion. Jared, first surprise so far, David Spade.
Yep.
Will you surprise us with your second pick?
I don't know if I'll surprise you, but no, I don't think I will surprise you. I'm going to go, and I'm not going to go down the list. I'm actually going to go middle of the list, but someone who I think I needs to get in there, and I think I want to be the person who puts them on the list. And I'm going to go with Andy Samberg, and by extension, the entire Lonely Island crew, because they are kind of one and the same.
A three for one.
Yes, three for one. It's a deal. It's a package deal. You're going to have to deal with it. And Andy Samberg is on there, not only because he did some pretty good character work himself, some notable Weekend Update appearances, but really it was his work with the Lonely Island, doing basically inventing the digital short and kind of revitalizing the show to a certain extent. And kind of just that whole, they sort of set the tone on what you can do with a pre-tape that was carried on long after they left the show. So for that reason, I mean, you obviously, you know, you start out with Lazy Sunday, you get Natalie's Rap, you get Dick in a Box, the whole pantheon of things. If you're an avid listener of the Lonely Island Seth Meyers podcast, like I am, you're getting the whole behind the scenes dirt on all of these things. And it really kind of puts it in stark relief just how much he and the Lonely Island meant to the show in that era. So that's why Andy Samberg's on my list.
Yeah. And that's a completely fair and fantastic choice. And think about,
you might even say, that's high praise.
Think about how that coincided with the ability to be able to watch videos on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
It just was kismet, and timing was perfect. And Andy Samberg was funny. That's the other thing going for him. You know, he has a certain sensibility, being sort of the young, cute guy, you know, if you think about that mold of the Adam Sandler, you know, go down the list, Jimmy Fallon type, he was sort of in the sandwich in between there, and he was fantastic. Laser cats. That's all I got to say. Laser cats.
Lasers cats. But
lasers cats. Okay. Well, it's my turn next. I'm going down my list, and I'm in the mood to pick a heavy hitter. So my next heavy hitter is Will Ferrell. 95 to 2002. Again, one of the greatest SNL players of all time. Too many characters to talk about, but he did George Bush. He did a weird professor in a hot tub. He literally was the cornerstone of the most beloved sketch of all time, Cowbell, with his big belly popping out of that tight 70s shirt. he's just he cheerleader. It goes on and on. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He's fearless. He absolutely was a fearless player. A little bit of that shows up in the most recent 50th anniversary special, which Jared, you have not gotten to yet.
I'm halfway through, but I did watch the music special where he makes an appearance with Anna Gasteyer too as the.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes,
I forget the name of their group, but he's on the keyboards and they're you know, they're doing the lounge versions of the popular songs.
Yeah,
they were very funny. So
Will Ferrell is not a sophisticated pick, but I think that if you're putting together a best cast, you want this guy in your cast. It's just it goes without saying.
Number three on my list, easily on the SNL Mount Rushmore. You're not. Right. There's no reason to quibble with this pick at all.
Thank you, Adam. I don't know who you're going to pick for your next pick, but my guess is it's probably Horatio Sanz.
Oh,
I think we're trying our hardest not to pick anyone that's been canceled or you know somewhat canceled. So.
No super creeps on this list.
Is he canceled? I'm not aware.
Oh, he's a bad man.
I'm not aware of the Horatio Sanz lore. Sorry.
Hit us, okay. Adam.
So I am gonna go. This kind of have I done two? I have two picks left.
You've done two. You've got two picks.
It's hard. Mm-hmm. Okay. I am gonna go with Adam Sandler list. Then.
Adam Sandler, all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Write it down.
Interesting.
Again, this is like I think a product of the time, but like there was, you know, just like such a weird goofiness to him. I remember at the time, and maybe it was like my dad saying like how bad SNL was now, mm-hmm. And pointing at Adam Sandler as an example, who I as a 13-year-old was like, what? He's the funniest one on the show. You know, and it's like, again, Gap Girls. I guess Gap Girls really just...
You really are into that Gap Girls.
A standout skit. It's like, I don't know that I liked Opera Man. I guess now, like, thinking about it, but I definitely did at the time. I don't know why. Cajun Boy, all those guys.
Crazy Spoonhead. Give me some candy.
And then, you know, Lunch Lady Land with Farley. I everything he did was like gold to me. And then that album came out and that was perfect. You know, Hanukkah song and all that. To the point where like my friend and I were in a really like basic computer animation class in 8th or 9th grade, and we had to do like a group project, and we did a really bad animation for the Hanukkah song, and I remember like we were just so proud of it, and it's like, you know, looked like finger painting, but we happened to get it to animate, and it's like we had to like play the song like on our Discman hooked up to like, you know, computer speakers. There was no like, you know, embedding it in the actual animation. I really had a fondness for him. And you know what? I will say, I think both the 40th and 50th, he's had like really like nice songs, you know, like about the cast and crew. He had a really nice song for Farley after he died. I think there's just something like sweet about him.
Yeah, he just seems like a good guy, honestly.
Yeah.
He's like lives in New York and he just like, I don't know, he just.
Yeah.
He seems, and he dresses, I wish I was his friend and he would put me in his movies.
Right.
Like he does with his. Yeah.
I guess the problematic thing is the Rob Schneider of it all. But
yeah.
We've all got a Rob Schneider in our lives that we still for some reason are friends with. So
that's why I'm looking at Jared right now. Jared.
Making copies.
Jared, you're up to your third pick, and I'm assuming it's Rob Schneider.
Copy guy. You know, obviously. It's legendary. No, not Rob Schneider. Despite his great appearance in The Waterboy yelling, you can do it. I got a couple places I could go with this. It's like I don't want to leave certain people out, but I also want to get credit for...
Adam's making it hard for us.
I know.
He's not picking the obvious ones.
He's picked
David Spade and Adam Sandler over Chris Farley. Is he forcing our hand? Like, what is going on here?
I know. That's the thing. It's like,
better be Chris Farley, your last pick, Adam.
I gotta adapt on the fly here. And I'm kind of like, do I want... I have a couple picks, and I have one that I suspect you're going to make, Shane. So I'm wondering if I want to leave it for you.
You pick what you need to pick. I trust you.
I could go. I will just say I have three more on my list that have not been mentioned yet. I could go with any one of these. And I think I'm going to go with probably maybe a consensus top five pick who has not been mentioned yet. I'm going to go with Mike Myers.
Okay.
Mike Myers, just a hitter's row of character work. I mean, that's mainly what he's known for. Obviously, the other half of Wayne's World, he's the titular Wayne to Dana Carvey's Garth. You've got what else? He's got the coffee talk lady. He's got
right. Sprockets.
Sprockets. This time when we dance. He's got maybe a little bit questionable now. Fill up the hyper hypo.
Hypey hypo. Yeah, he's got Simon.
Simon. And I like to do he drawings. Likes to do his drawings. Just so many characters, and obviously he launched a
middle-aged man, Jared. Middle-aged man.
Oh, God, I forgot about middle-aged man. Yeah. I just think he's so much character work that he has to be included in this. And a very, very notable post-SNL career as well. Not only in movies based on characters from the show, obviously the Wayne's World films, but, you know, additional new characters, you know, the whole Austin Powers franchise. Maybe not talk about as much about maybe some of his other films that didn't do
the
so
Love
well,
Guru?
The Love Guru, maybe, perhaps. But I just think Mike Myers was, he came on like later in that main era that I was watching, which was, you know, mid to late 80s into early 90s.
89 to 95 was his run.
And just like every week, look forward to it. We would just quote the sketches in school. Just made such a, it was such a huge part of my youth. I can't exclude Mike Myers from the list. So he's on the list. He's on my list. And he's also on our list. So there, Mike Myers.
He's added. Okay, I'm to my third pick, and I'm not letting this one pass. I'm picking a present cast member. Kenan Thompson makes the list. 2003 to present. I mean, he's an all-timer. He has the best reaction shots in all of SNL. You can count on him every single time. He was another fantastic player in the 50th anniversary special. Characters up the wazoo. Big Poppy. Got the Mofongo.
Mofongo.
He is a staple on Weekend Update. And coming from someone who despised Kenan when he first started on that show, like, why would they ever hire someone who was a Nickelodeon star who has turned into a standard bearer for all things good for that show? I can't say enough about him. He is well deserving, and I hope he goes another 20 years.
I don't disagree with you. I think his longevity speaks for itself. He's a key integral part of this cast and many casts before this cast.
Right.
I think you could maybe make an argument that he's coasting a bit now. He's sort of like found the roles that are right for him, and he nails them every time. So it's hard to, you know, find fault with them. He's not always doing new work necessarily, but, you know, every time you see him, it's a delight. So
thank you.
And that's what you want.
Yep. He's Mr. Dependability. Okay. Adam, you're next. Chris Kattan. Is that
final wild card? Maybe Michael Bryan or a Kyle Mooney.
I love
Kyle Mooney. Man,
I do too. But is he top 12? No.
If I could pick, Mooney, it probably wouldn't be Kyle Mooney. It would be what's his name that was also on Chappelle's Show. But I still kind of want to pick Kyle Mooney. now, out of spite, I kind of want to go.
Yeah.
Kyle Mooney. Okay, I'm having a real hard time.
It is. It's tough. It's, you don't want to exclude anyone, but there's only 12, and there's been like 100 people on the show.
Yeah, and it's like I definitely, you know, like thanks to Comedy Central and stuff, have watched old SNL, like let's say pre 87, and it's like really bad to me. I know that's like not a great opinion to have, and there's some, you know, the Bass-O-Matic, you know, it's great, but I think for the most part I don't like those shows. But then it's like I think about the last 5 years and I think they've been pretty good. But it's like, can you pick someone from the last 5 years? I'm not going to right now.
no, you can't. You cannot. Pick, Kenan.
My fourth pick might be this one. I'm going to skip. I'm still not going. Farley. So someone else better pick him, because I'm going to go with Will Forte.
Wow.
I think Will Forte.
Will Forte? Yo,
yes. Yes. I think it's crazy.
Kudos to you for not making this a boring episode.
I mean, so it's like when I think about like the, you know, however long, 15 years ago, the like the triumvirate of like Forte,
Sudeikis
and Allison. And yeah. And well, what's his name from Barry?
Hader?
Yeah, Hader. Like,
you picked Forte over Hader? I can't. This one, I'm just, my mouth is dropping. Oh, my hell no. Wow.
I mean, I think, well, do you not remember Tim Calhoun?
Hi, I'm Tim Calhoun. Tim Calhoun.
I mean, MacGruber's classic. I'm going to give you that.
The Falconer.
Yeah.
I will ask you to go back and watch the Sex Offender Halloween sketch that he does with John Hamm. It's very good. I was reviewing like kind of the three of them, because I feel like there needs to be some, you know, like late 2010s representation. That's not Keenan, because Keenan's, I feel like he's been on the show for, you know, I know it's 22 years, but you know, he crosses too many generations. Mm-hmm. And I was surprised that I was over and over finding Forte to be the one that was like in the one that I liked the most. So I know it's weird, because I definitely don't like his post SNL work as much as a lot of the other ones, but I'm gonna try to separate those. Which I think
Last Man on Earth was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just didn't like it. Like, it's, you know, it's like if I'm gonna like Ted Lasso, Barry, Last Man on Earth, like Last Man on Earth's like, you know, the third of those.
That's fair. That's actually that's a good way of looking at it. But I still love all of those shows.
No Sudeikis on the list. So
right. Mm. Well, yeah, and it's like the two of them. So like they were John Bovey, right? Yeah. Classic band, John Bovey. I think the two of them were the SNL, or sorry, the ESPN anchors, mm-hmm. right? Where Greg Stink didn't know sports, basically. I just he's the one that said Gilly. In the so I'm
all right.
I know it's weird. I'm sticking with it.
Okay,
Jared.
Okay, well,
don't do me dirty, Jared. Do not do me dirty.
How am I going to do you dirty? I got one name left on my list, and I'm going to call it. This is actually my legit number four on my list.
Okay.
On the Mount Rushmore of SNL for me, for the men. And again, I tend to gravitate towards people who have superior character work. And this person has some of the best, most memorable characters and can do so many impressions that you just have to put them on the list. And that person is Bill Hader. Bill Hader is on my list. I don't know if this is a consensus top five pick for people, but I mean, Stefan, legendary. The Italian interviewer guy. I don't even know what his name is.
Vinny DiVicci.
Legendary. who was the Weekend Update old guy, reporter guy? I can't remember his name. Yeah. That guy, where he hits him with the microphone. Legendary. At least for me. I love all of these characters. So many impressions. His Vincent Price is incredible. I mean, come on. It's Bill Hader. He wasn't at SNL 50, though.
He had longstanding other plans.
Sure. Okay.
I saw that.
Okay. Maybe a little more there than but whatever. That's the reason. And he hasn't done that much since SNL. I mean, he had Barry on HBO, but you know, some of his film work is respectable, but no, definitely not, you know, blowing the doors off. But that's fine. On his work on the show, I just think is exemplary, and I look forward to see him every week. And I was sad when he left the cast. I was legitimately sad, because I'm like, how am I gonna have my Bill Hader fix? This is terrible. He's on my list, Bill Hader.
Well, you guys have put me in a pickle. I've got six folks on my list that could legitimately be in this cast.
Probably some names that Adam should have picked.
But. And I'm really pissed. I'm really pissed at Adam for not picking Chris Farley.
Adam is allowed to do whatever he wants.
Not. I mean, I'm not at all surprised.
Hey, I'll be honest. Your fault. Why'd you limit this to 12? This is your
full
fault.
Disclosure.
I was going to limit it to 9. Is
full disclosure. Chris
plan.
Farley didn't make my list.
He
did not make my list.
Chris Farley has such an energy that you can't ignore him. I've got Farley on my list. Mm-hmm. I've got Armisen on my list. I love Fred Armisen so much. I've got Daryl Hammond is another mega utility player who did the original great Trump. I put Martin Short and Billy Crystal from that 84 and 85 season where they literally hit on every single sketch they were on. I put Dan Aykroyd on my list because we have to look at the classics, but I'm going to go
isn't
back.
Isn't this your third pick? You have two left.
No, this is my last pick. This is it.
Mm-hmm. No, I can't be right. Did I pick 4? Yeah.
Yes, I picked Eddie Murphy, Will Ferrell, Kenan Thompson, and the last pick that I'm going with is Bill Murray. I'm going with he's not even an original player. He came in to replace Chevy Chase, who was a dink. But Bill Murray as creepy nerd Todd, funny creepy nerd Todd, giving Gilda Radner a noogie. He was the lounge singer. Bill Murray was a glue that kept that cast together for 4 years, and his strange sensibilities and his strange comedy transcended that show. And I think there has to be some representation from that first season, even if the show was not what it became later on. I just feel like you have to pick an OG, and for me, Bill Murray is it.
So you're making a legacy pick.
It's a legacy pick.
All right.
I can't believe you didn't pick Tracy Morgan. Nope. Shame on you guys. No Norm Macdonald.
Norm Macdonald may make an appearance in a future episode, but
I picked Eddie Murphy, Keenan, Bill Murray, and Dana. No, you did Dana Carvey, Jared. I did it, and Will Ferrell. I feel like I represented a vast space and time of SNL.
You know who my next one would have been?
Who?
James Austin Johnson. Fight me.
I mean, the heart wants what it wants.
Yeah.
Right?
I love his Trump. I mean, it's as good as it gets. I don't know if that puts him on the list yet, but
he wasn't really my...
So I'm going to go through our lists. Mm-hmm. I want everyone to tell me what they think. Phil Hartman, Dana Carvey, Eddie Murphy, David Spade, Andy Sandberg, Will Ferrell, Adam Sandler, Mike Myers, Keita Thompson, Will Forte, Bill Hader, Bill Murray. Jared, you have to get rid of one male off this list. Who is it?
I have to get one off the list?
Yep.
David Spade.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. David Spade is the one that stands
out
the most.
David Spade falls off the edge.
I love David Spade, and David Spade had one of the best lines of SNL 50. Adam, would you not agree?
Yeah, I got
it. I mean, it was great. But yeah, I would probably give him the boot. Adam, you pick one to take off of this list.
I don't want to pick someone to get rid of. I'd say Bill Murray. Cause I just, I really don't find that the early SNL stuff funny. I like him after it, but,
I don't disagree with you, Adam, which is why I didn't really look at the early years much.
Yeah.
Other than Eddie Murphy.
Early years will be making an appearance, in round 2 losers. So get ready for it.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's do it. Let's wrap it up. Let's head off to the end of the show. Thanks, everybody. SNL. Let's hug. Let's hug. Let's celebrate.
Lonely Island, Seth Meyers, they all say, love you guys.
Love you guys. There's more of the scope dead ahead.
Under the scope.
I'm having a challenge trying to juggle my sound effects and my YouTube player and fading out. It's a little rough, but we're making it work.
And we don't even do under the scope anymore.
Oh, that's right. Do we just go right in? Wait, do we just go right into the end? I forget. I suggested this too. Oh well. Let's go right into it, I guess.
Jared.
I don't know how this works.
Wrap us up, baby.
Yeah. So this is the end of the show. Apparently we go right into it. We don't even do the other part anymore. Who knew? Folks, like I said, if you want to support the show, go to patreon.com/thescopeshow. You can support the show, give us a little money. And otherwise, if you want to get a hold of us, you can email us at comments@thescopeshow.com. You can call the voicemail line, 612-21-SCOPE. That is 612-217-2673. Are you mad as hell that Adam picked David Spade to be in the top 12 men of in SNL 50 years?
History!
Are you mad at any of our other picks? Please call in. Let us know. Let us know what your personal top, we'll say top six are. Why not? I don't know.
I would say top seven.
Yes. With three
maybe
honorable
five.
Mentions. However many you want to tell us. Tell us your top dudes from SNL's past 50 seasons. And they can be in the current season. There's nothing wrong with that. We just didn't pick anyone, really. Did we? Can we pick anyone other than Keenan, who's just, you know, he's been there forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I don't think there's anyone in the current cast besides Keenan that deserves it, to be honest with you.
Wow.
Not right now.
Well, that may change with the next episode, but we'll find out.
We'll see.
Folks, you can also, what can you do? I mean, there's a Facebook page we don't interact with anymore. There's a Twitter account. We don't really do anything over there anymore. Tumblr?
Yeah.
I mean, only the freaks are there. We do have a YouTube, youtube.com/thescopeshow. This video will be posted there. And as I said before, if you want to support us directly with monies, patreon.com/thescopeshow is where you want to go. Check it out. You're probably a patron of other things. Just, you know, add us to the list. Honestly, is it that hard in this year where it's trying times? Look, I get it. There's probably better causes to support with your money right now. But, you know, if you're one of those fat cats who's just got
ACL.
Spare change falling out of your pockets every time you try to buy a Diet Coke, that change could go to us. Patreon.com/thescopeshow. Shane, back to you.
Wow, fantastic read, Jared. So smooth this transition from the B block to the C block.
Effortless. It's like we're calling it effortless.
And they actually mean without effort.
So true.
Let's wrap it up. Part two of our SNL spectacular coming up very soon. So until then, for Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying, ciao! Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.